Hello,
and welcome back again to the BCS Sports Podcast.
Coming up in today's fun-filled episode, we are bringing you news from all corners of the school, including sports as per usual, a review of Wellness Week, and all the different activities and speeches involved.
We're your hosts, Desmond Youngwood and
Sinead O'Neill. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. So, starting off with sport as per usual is a great place to start, I think.
Gaelic football, senior boys. Mr. Mitchell was involved. Glenamaddy. It was in Glenamaddy, you know. It was a long trip. It was on the 20th of November. The score was 3-9 to 1-9. Ballyhawness win. Huge championship match for us. We have a match report here from Dylan Gourke. And by you, actually.
It's Sinead O'Neill, your very own.
Today, the senior lads took on Glenamaddy. The lads got off the mark in the first round of the championship to a very strong physical Glenamaddy team, which Ballyhawness came out on top on a scoreline of Ballyhawness 3 goals and 9, Glenamaddy 1 goal and 9. On the day, big performers were Senan Gilfoyle, Gerrith Concannon and Luke Ruan. Our man the match, my man the match would be James Flynn in the goal. He's been the most persistent player on this team this year. I think Mr. Mitchell's team are in a great place at the minute, when they will take on a do-or-die battle in Ballyhawness against Foxford next Wednesday.
I'm here with Marcus Denning, who was playing cornerback on the Ballyhawness senior team yesterday against Glenamaddy. Marcus, can you give me a few thoughts on how the game went today from your point of view?
I think overall we played not too bad. I think we could have been better. We've played better before. Thankfully, we were able to hold out the win. We started off good. Halfway through the first half, I think we dropped off a bit. We had definitely good spells through the first half. Definitely, we were just there as a team. You know, we were really up for the game there yesterday. We knew what we had to do. And thankfully, yeah, we could get it done.
Yeah, it was a brilliant win, especially it's your first win, you were telling me, in a very long time for the senior team. So that must be a great boost. But things you can improve on, you were saying that it kind of slipped and fell at times. Things that you can improve on for your next game, you're playing Foxford. Is there anything that you think could do with some work?
I think overall, if mostly just keeping that same tempo during the game, lads tracking back, you know, just constantly putting that pressure on, constantly 100% the whole game. Defensive structure definitely could be better for the next game, but it's things that we'll work on throughout the season. It's things to get better on, simple things, so not to worry just yet.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That's Sinead O'Neill reporting for BCS Sports.
Thanks for that anyway, Sinead. Moving on, they have a huge match next against Foxford.
Yeah,
in
a must-win game.
It's a must-win game for the seniors, but I'm sure we'll have a great match report for that. I'm sure they'll give it up. They're all, you know, the lads are very committed. Okay. But moving on to junior girls football.
Yes.
Very, very big match. Low on numbers, but St. Nathie's, they came here to Ballyhawness on the 24th, Thursday.
They did, in our home venue, yeah, playing us. Yeah.
We don't exactly want to talk about the score, but Miss O'Connor did give me this. It was their last match of the season. He couldn't qualify because he lost his strokes down in your third match, I believe.
Yes.
It was. He had fun playing together, but
we did.
Obviously, it was quite tough. It was quite tough, you know, knowing that once he lost his strokes down, there was nothing to play for.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very hard one group getting through in the girls.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially with a team like Strokestown, it's a very, very strong team in our group. And I mean, we had a good run. Our first two games very strong against Boyle and Ballymeen. And it's good that we have a good, strong junior girls team coming up into the seniors later on.
Yeah, she did say there's great displays of football, though, I've heard. Like, you've all put your everything into it. It's just obviously losing that match at Strokestown was very tough. But how do you feel about that, being a ladies footballer, you know? Knowing that if you lose one match for your school, that's you over for the year.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure on you, I suppose. Being, like, only one team getting through. It's like, if you have one awful game, and it's so easy, especially with stuff like semester tests and the Wellness Week, so many people are absent. If you're out for one game, you're missing a good few players. Like, I know myself, the Ballyhawness girls, we had a county final one weekend, so none of us could play.
Yeah.
So, small things like that, it affects the whole kind of girls'
football.
Yeah, it's
football. Tough, and then one loss and you're out of it then.
It's quite hard. Yes, it is, but
I'm sure next year you'll come back stronger.
Next year we have a great team moving up. Yeah.
She did say herself she feels like you guys really have it next year, and hopefully we get something better than this year.
Yes. Now, moving on to under-17 soccer. Oof. Manager Mr. Noon. Oof. We're playing in Wildbush versus Ballina.
Yeah.
a tough game, I'm sure.
Yes, it was.
It's 22nd of November. Score, 5-1 Ballina.
Yeah.
Desmond, would you like to move on about that?
There's no way of saying this in a nice way. We weren't at our best, you know.
Yeah.
We had most of our players. We had everyone that was available. It's just we didn't really use the ball when we had the ball. We didn't have a lot of the ball. So when we did have the ball, we didn't really know what to do with it. But obviously they came out and they just played their game. They controlled it. Basically, the whole game.
But I'm sure there's stuff that the soccer team can learn from that moving forward.
Oh, of course, yeah. I'd say Mr. Noon at training he'll drill it into our heads.
Of course.
We'll get through it.
Okay, so moving on, we have a new section to our podcast called Riddle Time.
Oh, woo! Jesus. You can take this person.
Okay, so we're going to give you a riddle. We'll come back with the answer to you at the end of the podcast. So, what four-letter word can be written forwards, backwards, or upside down? And can still be read from left to right. Desmond, any ideas?
Yeah, no.
No?
No.
Well, get your thinking hats on. Because I will come back to you at the end of the podcast and see if you've got it. Okay?
Keep that in mind.
Keep that in your head.
Keep that in mind.
I myself do know the answer.
I have no idea what it is. He never informed me about this, but okay.
Okay.
All right, on to Wellness Week. Now,
Wellness Week, a big thing in the school calendar.
This was serious. Wellness Week, line dancing. It was ran by Mary Kathleen Henry. She comes in basically every year. She's great.
Yeah, as always, a really good reception. Yeah, line dancing is one of the most enjoyable things every year.
I believe she did it with second, third and sixth years, am I right? Yeah,
yes, indeed.
It was amazing. She does it every year. You know, she comes in, it's almost like a tradition now.
It is a tradition. I feel like when you think of Wellness Week, you think of doing the line dancing in the assembly area. And yeah, it is brilliant. And there's always a great reaction to her every year. That was an amazing activity.
But moving on to some of the talks. Now, this talk we were actually attending.
This was for the TYs.
10% chance to live. Now this talk was serious. It was a talk by Paul Coughlin about his experience with AMI, acute myeloid leukemia. Now that's a very emotional talk. It was done with all the TYs. He went through how he survived it, how he had to fight against it, and how he really did have depression. And then once he got back up and everything felt like it was okay, this happened to him. And it was honestly really great.
It was very moving, I must say. It taught you a lot about resilience, and especially in the age group that we are in TY and moving up into the Leaving Cert and big things coming up for us. It was a really good talk for us to have.
We
do have an interview by Ethan Henry and our very own Desmond Dubaway.
I'm here with Paul after a brilliant talk that he has just given to the TY class. I must say I was at the talk and it was just brilliant. It was really moving and a really touching story. So Paul, could you just give us a quick brief on the story you had to tell us today?
It's a very genuine story. I mean, it's about my own personal journey, and I went into you guys and I thought it was really great. There was great attention. I mean, every story with any adversity or any challenges is always a little bit emotional, but I could share my own insights and strategies to recover from acute myeloid leukemia. It was a real pleasure for you guys.
And what made you want to go to schools and spread this story with like other people in other communities?
I think, to be honest with you, young people have it harder now. I just think by sharing some of the stories of my own personal journey might just help people when they face their own challenges or adversities, that they'll have a more positive outlook and knowing that there is a future ahead.
And what would you say was the toughest challenge you faced while going through the leukemia?
The toughest challenge for me was obviously physically it is very, very demanding, but emotionally I really struggled. I think when everything's taken away from you very, very quickly, it's a real shock to the body. And for me, I had a young daughter at the time. She was only 7 years old. And, to feel the guilt, I felt lonely, and I felt like I was letting people down even though I was in no control of it. But, that would have been definitely my hardest struggle.
Yeah, and to finish this off, is there any advice you'd like to give to people if they ever go through something like this?
I guess the wide advice I would give to anybody would be to always look forward with a sense of purpose. I mean, it isn't just about cancer. I mean, there are so many different adversities that we all face day in, day out, whether it's mental, emotional or physical. But, always look forward. And for me, it's all about leaning on people, trusting your friends and making the right choices for yourself.
Thank you very much, boys, for that brilliant Brilliant interview with Paul Cogan. Now, moving on.
Alex's adventure. Now this, I think it's probably my favourite, honestly. I think it's my favourite talk that we've ever gotten in school, because we got this in third year as well. And it's for third year as well this year. I actually wish I wish we got it this year. But
yes,
it's so heartfelt.
Yeah, it is really good. I do think it's really emotional. It's really... Her story is just... Yeah, it's amazing. It's really emotional. And I know that there was a lot of tears last year and ours, and this year I think the reaction was the exact same to it.
Yeah.
Actually, to hear more about it, and do we deal, we'll have an interview with the leader of Alex's Adventures, done by Ethan Henry.
Today I am delighted to be joined by Nicole from Alex's Adventures. She gave us a talk today on drug use and alcohol awareness. Now, Nicole, what do you think are the key points that young people should know about drugs and alcohol?
Well, I think because drugs and alcohol are so prevalent in our society these days, and especially they affect young people and young people's lives, as you guys are growing up, you're going to be very inquisitive, you want to have new experiences, and drugs and alcohol really fall into that place. So some of the key points, I guess, for young people to know is how drugs actually work, what they do, some of their effects, and the dangers surrounding drug use. What I really focus on, though, is putting the choice back into young people's hands. So you will always make a choice for yourself, but I just really want you to have all the education you can to make an informed choice for your own self.
Yeah, and it's actually a very moving talk that you do give to our students. Obviously, you give us some great information on drug use, but there is a part of the story that really does hit home, and it really changes kind of people's outlook on it. So would you like to tell us about your personal story with drug and alcohol?
Yeah, of course. So Alex's Adventure is called after my brother Alex, who was 18. He went to a house party in Cork City. He tried a substance for kind of, I suppose, the first time, and unfortunately he had an overdose. He went into hospital and he passed away, sadly. And I suppose, like him, he was 18, and he just wanted an experience like many 18-year-olds will want to have as well, just to experiment, have new things. But he had no education behind him, and that really drastically changed my life, losing Alex. But it also opened my eyes to seeing how we teach young people about drugs. And a lot of, well, back then there was very little information around it. It wasn't really talked about. It's a taboo subject, and you can understand why. But if we don't talk about it, we're not going to be able to help young people going forward, and even try and save lives that don't need to be needlessly lost, like my brother.
Yeah, it was honestly a great presentation, and thank you so much for coming in and giving us your time.
Cheers for that now, Ethan, and thank you very much to Nicole once again for coming into our school and helping us out with such an amazing story. On to the Ballyhawness Bake Off. Now, this was a different one.
Yeah, it sure was. Miss Kane took our first years for a bake-off on Tuesday and Wednesday afternoon. And now, to catch up with the contestants, we have Ava Brennan and Eva Casey.
So we're here today in the home ec department while the first years are preparing for what could be the biggest competition of their whole life, the Decorate-Off. We're here with Tara and Robert. Robert, what are your thoughts today? Are you nervous about this, obviously, the biggest competition of your life so far?
Well, yeah, I'd say I'm a bit nervous, but I think I've got all the right ingredients, so I'll be all right.
Okay, that's great. Confidence, we love to see it. Tara, what's your plan for today? What's your mindset?
Well, we're thinking of doing like Santa hats and melting snowman, kind of. So we did bring in marshmallows, but I feel like the Santa hats might have runny icing because the icing's quite runny that I made. So
thanks for that, Tara. Good, best of luck, guys. So I'm here at Helen and Linara's table, and I'm going to ask them a few questions. So Helen, what are your plans for the cupcakes? How are you going to decorate them?
We decorate off Christmas and Princess.
So how did you feel coming into the competition today? Were you confident? Were you nervous?
I am so nervous, and I am so happy because I love to cook and I love to eat.
Thank you.
So thank you so much, girls, for that interview with the contestants. I'm sure that was a very, very enjoyable affair for the first years.
Of course.
And now, moving on to another strong topic that was brought up in our Wellness Week this week, which was gambling addiction.
Yeah, a bit more serious. This talk was done by Gamblers Anonymous. They came in here and they talked about how people can get kind of reeled into gambling, and the way companies have kind of, you know, used social media to influence people. Like, for example, the World Cup. Like, obviously, we're not going to get into that because this is not a controversial podcast. We're just going to keep it simple. But obviously, you know, stuff like the World Cup, media, social media can really just change your mindset on it. But
yes, it really can. Yeah, it can definitely change the way you think. Yeah. I think when it's brought up, especially with important topics like gambling, yeah, it can be quite dangerous and kind of brainwashing as such.
That's very true. But here we have an interview by Ethan Henry again and Oscar Doris. So
today I am joined here by David and Noel, who are from Gamblers Anonymous. They are here to just talk to me a bit about their experience with gambling and any advice they'd have for young people listening to our podcast. So Noel, I'll go to you first. Would you like to tell our listeners a little bit about your experience with gambling?
At a very young age, I was attracted to gambling. I used to love playing like machines, poker machines, slot machines, then greyhounds, that progressed into horse racing. And as the years went by, I probably would miss work. If I had money, I'd go gambling. And in reality, you say in a few times when I wasn't able to pay my rent to the landlord. And then, like, marriage life came, and that's where the responsibility. I wasn't able to, like, mentally to look after my kids or listen to my wife. I was, like, in my addiction, we say we're very selfish people, gamblers are. So we're Mayfainers, we look after ourselves. And that's what addiction does. It takes away from all your loved ones. You get so wrapped up in yourself that you don't see reality. And for me, that was for a number of decades in my life, I couldn't see reality. But over the last 8 years, a day at a time, in Gamblers Anonymous, I have a life today. And without Gamblers Anonymous, my life be nothing. I depend on Gamblers Anonymous. It's we call it a simple program for complicated people. It teaches how to live on a daily basis. You know, it makes a better person out of me. I'm able to give my wife and my kids time today, which I wasn't able to do in the past. It's special, you know, and everybody, we're all equal in Gamblers Anonymous. There's no bosses. We're just equal. We have a secretary to open up, and we have a treasurer. And if you come in, any new member come in, they get a welcome. We kind of swap phone numbers. And we usually, after a while, we might go out for coffee, you know. And that's how we work, you know. And sadly, a lot of people will stay in Gamblers Anonymous, and some people will leave and go back to their old ways. And the sad thing about when you go back to your old ways, you can lose whatever amount of money you have in your bank or your marriage life or where the kids don't talk to you.
Yeah.
And that's the reality. Or sometimes people take their own lives. That's the reality of a gambling addiction. And we call it the most secret of all addictions, because if you drink, you either fall down with drugs, you're on the high with gambling. It could be normal. You could put your bet on the phone. You wouldn't even blink an eye, and you could lose your wage that day, but you wouldn't even blink. And that's why it does. It destroys me as an individual, and because I live in a family, it destroyed my family.
Now on to David. David, what are your thoughts on gambling strategies for companies?
Thanks, Oscar. Just following on from what Noel said, when gambling goes too far, it's already too late, and the bookmaker and the gambling companies have already made a healthy profit from you. So I suppose the old saying was, you never met a poor bookmaker, and but usually there were a one-off show or a small lad in the corner of the street. But in today's world, there are huge multinational companies, you know, treated just the same as corporations, and your Facebooks, your Googles, all of these companies, and because of their success and because of their ability to employ and pay for the best and the brightest minds coming out of college, they'll take them in. We go to university students and we take on the brightest and the best. And what that means is that they're able to understand us better. They're able to give us products that attract us. So whether it be horse racing, which is traditional stuff, but it's moved in now to football. And you can see that on, I'm sure if you watch any match in the Premiership or international football, it's beset by multiple ads, you know, and attractive odds and good soundtracks, and their ability to normalize it and make it sound like every of your match experience and everyday experience with your friends or family. And so they normalize it, and really what they want to do is, you know, make some money from you. And you know, so it's okay to have one or two bets or have an interest. But unfortunately, when it's marketed the way it is marketed, it's spread over such a big wider net. So just back to what I was saying. So when the net is spread wider, and in this country, new gambling legislation only came in 2 weeks ago. And so they now recognise much too late that there is a serious problem here with what they're allowed to do and the consequences of it. So no more than anything else, you know, it's, you know, once you have the experience of winning money on a bet, you know, quite likely, you know, it's a pleasurable experience. It's a buzz. And for some of us, that buzz, you know, we'll probably do anything to replicate that buzz again down the line. And it can lead to a lot of problems, just like what Noel might have ascribed to, you know. And marketing, uncontrolled, unregulated, unchecked, will spread the net wider, like fish in the sea where the nets are out, and it catches all the stuff it shouldn't be catching. So, you know, and it's down to big business, you know, and so, and there's a whole multitude of things like that comes from that. And in a society where we all want to get on, earn good money, buy things, have a house, you know, well, where do we draw the line here, and what's good and what's bad for the greater good?
I feel like the problem could get worse because of, obviously, with the improvements in technology, nearly everything is seen everywhere nowadays, and it's so hard to keep things off your Instagrams, your TikToks, all of that stuff. It just appears everywhere uncontrollably. But coming from that point, is there any advice that you would have for young people nowadays who might be just getting into a gambling addiction or who don't want to be there in the future?
Sure. Well, like you said, you know, on your phone, your TikToks, Facebooks, whatever it may be, everyone now has a phone. And, you know, you can probably count yourself many times a day. You check your phone. You're always looking at your phone. It's a part of you. It's there. The Facebooks, they have all this information. They sell this information. And it's just, you know, that's just the reality of the world we live in. And it's just good to be aware of that and catch yourself, you know, and when things come on your phone that, you know, you're attracted to, but you know it's probably not the best thing for you, and that could be a whole multitude of things. That's when your own alarm bells are ringing. But if you choose to ignore it and you keep going back to that thing, well, then that's when problems start, you know, not only with yourself, with people around you. And you tend to become isolated from the real world, you know, and the only way you can communicate is through the you know, the eventual addiction or the things you like, or the extra 20 minutes on TikTok, compulsively flicking the videos, having a laugh, but there you are, bleary-eyed, can't get to sleep. And you probably have the homework to do the next day that you probably haven't done because, you know, I'm not fully tuned in here. So same when it comes to marketing from gambling companies.
Yeah, lads, I mean, listen, it's a great talk that you're giving, and I really do think it's a message that should be spread more, and it does need to be controlled. So thanks very much for your time.
Cheers for that, lads. That was really great. But now we went on to a mental health talk. It was by Connor Nolan, who is the author of a book. I'm not sure if you know, it was called Normal. And we have another one of our society members, Jamie Maguire, with this interview. Go on, Jamie.
I'm Jamie Maguire here with the author of the book Normal, Connor Nolan. Connor, can you give me a short summary of your story?
I can indeed. So when I was about 12 years of age, I was diagnosed with anorexia, and I spent 12 months in counselling at a very young age. And I learned that, I suppose, from the very get-go, that talking really can change a life, and it can very much save a life. I learned a lot of lessons throughout my teenage years through a bit of bullying that I went through, from some of the decisions I made in terms of the sports I walked away from, the sports I picked. I learned a lot about individuality and picking our own path. In my later teenage years, I went through a very, very deep battle with depression, and it was that period of my mental health that proved to me that people in general, but particularly young men, struggle to talk about their feelings. And I made a decision at that point to write a book to try and promote the message of openness and talking about our problems.
And what made you want to share your story with people?
So I had several conversations with various friends of mine, and I realised that particularly young men, we bottle things up, we don't talk about our problems, and ironically it was oftentimes on nights out and in a pub with a few drinks on board that I heard a lot of these stories. And I realised that a lot of young men, we bottle things up and we're almost afraid to talk, and there's a great stigma about men opening up. And I really wanted to do a lot of work to sort of, I suppose, fight against that and prove that opening up and talking really can help people and it really can save a life. So it was a combination of conversations that I had with other people that made me want to share my story.
And if you could say one thing to teens struggling with mental health, what would it be?
I would say what I said there at the end of the last talk, the words I would say is the things you store inside, the problems you store inside become very, very heavy. There is a phrase, a problem shared is a problem halved, and although it is a cliche phrase, it is in fact accurate. So I would be saying to young people, whether struggling or not, be sure to talk about what you're going through.
Thank you so much, Jamie, for that interview with Connor. And his new book, Normal, is out, so make sure you hit up on that. So, moving on to my favourite of the Wellness Week. This was 100% my favourite. So many people missed this, and I'm so annoyed because it was brilliant. It was JC night. Lads, the results came out the day before. You know yourself, there was not many people in school on Thursday.
That's fact. But, let's move on to the talent show. Let's not talk about results tonight, please.
Let's not. Yes, moving on.
For mental health reasons. But the acts range from loads of stuff, you know, singing, dancing, drumming, different things. But standouts. Can we talk about Nessa Rowan Dalton, please?
She was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. She sang Fire on Fire by Sam Smith.
Amazing song.
Played guitar by herself, everything done by herself. She was phenomenal. I was gobsmacked.
Wow.
She was very, very good. That was my personal standout.
I heard that was everyone's personal standout, actually.
Yeah.
Moving on, we had Magdalene and Jacob as well. They were meant to be very, very good.
They were. Jacob played piano. Yeah, played a piano piece, and Magdalena sang.
Oh, wow.
And they were very, very impressive. I was impressed with the range of talent from the junior girls. Like, Nessa, Magdalena, Jacob is in fifth year.
He's a fifth year, yes.
It was brilliant. It was a really, really good show for the junior classes to watch. There was definitely a crowd favourite.
Oh, Sebastian. Russian dancing. Oof.
Oh, wow. My. I don't think I heard that crowd scream as loud as I did when Sebastian came out on that floor. He was definitely a crowd favourite. And our judges, I think it was a judge favourite too, with Miss Henry, Miss Kane and Mr. Shannon were the judges of the talent show. And I do think he was definitely a favourite of the group.
I mean, overall, I think the whole Wellness Week was just amazing, wasn't it? It was.
It was really successful this year. I think ever since COVID, and it's been a long, long 2 years for everyone. And now that we're finally coming out of it and we could have a proper Wellness Week this year, I think everyone really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was just great. Like, everyone just got into it, really. We kind of try to make people pick things that they wouldn't do outside school. You wouldn't pick like your classic soccer, you'd pick Zumba or something.
Exactly.
Just to see what it's like, you know. But yeah, overall it was amazing. But obviously there is one thing Sinead has to do, because I don't even know the answer to this.
There is one thing we have to come back to from the start of our podcast, and that is our riddle. Desmond, I told you to keep your thinking hat on.
Alright.
Have you come up with the answer for this riddle?
No,
he hasn't. So looks like I will have to give you the answer. Coming back to our riddle, what four-letter word can be written forward, backward, or upside down, and can still be read from left to right? No final thoughts?
No final thoughts.
The answer is noon.
Wow.
N-O-O-N.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, see, he's looking at it now. He's turning it upside down. He's looking, he's thinking, yeah, noon.
Wow.
That's one for your books, guys. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for in this week's episode, but thank you so much to our interviewers and interviewees this week.
Please make sure to leave us a follow and share this with all your friends and family. Thank you so much for listening to BCS Podcast. Bye.